Welcome to Real Girl Talk Podcast Radio. Welcome back to Real Girl Talk Podcast Radio. I am your host, Sherry Ricard. I am a medical professional, author, adversity recovery specialist, and co-founder of Silver Lining Wellness Company. I love sharing my faith and bringing you fascinating guests, Friday fire messages, thinking outside the box, sharing ideas for business, beauty, and lifestyle abundance, and always committed to keeping it real. Now let's level up and let's dive in. Hello and happy new year. Welcome to the first episode of Real Girl Talk Podcast Radio 2023. And we are starting it out with a bang. My guest, Nancy Alcorn, is the founder and president of Mercy Multiplied, founded in 1983, and now has residential facilities all across the U.S. and other countries. She is an author of multiple books, featured as an international speaker in conferences and churches all around the world, and she has blessed us with her presence here today to share her story and inspire you. Hello, Nancy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Sherry. It is so good to be with you.
Oh, look, I told you before we started recording that saying that it is an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show is completely an understatement, because I am super excited. And the fact that you started this women's outreach in North Louisiana tells me all I need to know about you, right?
Well, I know we have the Louisiana thing in common, since you have roots there as well.
That's right. So I want you to tell everybody, because your story is very interesting, how you started. I want you to tell everybody a little bit about you and how this came. I mean, how did all of this come to pass? You starting an outreach ministry, basically for women that really, really needed it when nobody could see. Just tell everybody where it all came from, because I think so many times we go, I don't know what to do. You know, I feel like I need to do something. I need to volunteer my time, or, you know, I want to start some type of outreach, and people just fall short because they don't know where to start. So they just don't do anything at all.
I tell you, I mean, it was nowhere even on my radar when I was in college that I was going to end up doing what I'm doing today. I actually thought I was going to be a college basketball coach. And I'm so thankful now that I'm not that. Because in Christ, we can always triumph, right? And
right.
Those coaches, they're going to lose some games. We don't have to lose. So Jesus paid the price for us so that we could win. He fights our battles for us. But yeah, I started out in a girls' correctional facility in Tennessee. There were teenage girls there, ages 13 to 17, that could have gone to the women's prison, but they were too young. So they were sentenced by juvenile court judges all over the state of Tennessee to stay there for a year. And so I started out as assistant athletic director, eventually became athletic director there in that facility. And so I was there for 5 years. I worked my way through college. And after college, I was still in that position. And what I saw, Sherry, was young women that would come from all over the state of Tennessee. There were probably 300 at a time there. They spend their year. And guess what? They've been labeled. They've been medicated. They've been told all the reasons why they're damaged goods, all the reasons why they're never going to be anything. Then they go back to the same neighborhoods they came from.
Right.
And the pimps and the drug dealers and the gang members are all waiting to pull them right back in to where they came from. And so, you know, when you're with girls every single day, as athletic director, I saw every single girl every single day because they had to have some kind of athletic activity. I could see the potential in them. I knew what they had done wrong, but I could see their potential. Mm-hmm. And I was excited as a believer to be able to go in, a new believer. I've been a rebellious kid. I knew what that was like. I mean, I could have probably gotten locked up in that place too if I got caught doing some of the things that I had done. So mm-hmm. I had a lot of compassion for them. You spend a year every day with somebody and you really get to know them. And I could see the horrible things that had happened to them, you know, the sexual abuse, the physical abuse, the violence, the broken mm-hmm. homes, the rapes, the abuse, all of it. And they get told they're never going to be anything because of all that's gone wrong in their life. And so they go home believing the prophetic doom is what I call it, that was spoken over their lives. So they go back to those neighborhoods. They get involved in the same activity. We started hearing of girls getting killed in street gang fights, dying from drug overdoses, getting murdered by pimps, getting killed in street gang fights. Mm. And some would pass the age of 18 and still, because they didn't get the help they needed, end up in a women's prison. And so that was my 5 years there. Wow. And I just stayed frustrated. And I started getting angry about the system and how it was broken and how it was set up for them to fail. Mm. And I started feeling really angry about that. And I went to talk to my youth pastor. He said, you need to pray about why you're feeling angry, because it may be that that's a sign that you're supposed to be one of the somebodies that steps up to try to make something different, make a different way. Wow. And boy, that really got my attention. I did pray about it. And that after 5 years, I got recruited to come to Nashville, Tennessee, and work in the Emergency Child Protective Services Unit. So our unit was on call 24 hours a day. We'd go out with the police in the middle of the night. We'd see little boys being sodomized, little girls being raped and used and abused, horrible violence of every kind, sexual, physical, all of it, and abandonment and all kinds of things. I started having nightmares about these little kids and these things I was seeing, because you hear this stuff on the news or you read about in the paper, but man, I never thought I'd see it with my own eyes. And those images to this day, they're still in my mind, because I believe God wants them to be in my mind, because they motivate me to this very day. But basically 3 years of that, and I got mad at God. I said, what are you doing to me? I'm having nightmares. I can't sleep. I'm being tormented by what these kids are going through. Like, what are you doing? I told him I wanted to go to Bible school. And he goes, and I heard that still small voice, you're in the school of my Holy Spirit. I'm showing you all of the taxpayer dollars that are being spent on programs that look good and sound good on paper, but the reality is they don't change lives. There's no success in it. You just spent 5 years dealing with angry teenage girls, and now I'm taking you back in time and showing you the things that happened to them when they were little girls. Mm-hmm. So that's why they had so much anger in the system of juvenile delinquent prison that I worked in. So basically, I can sum it up in one sentence, the 8 years that God said to me, I have not anointed the government to heal broken hearts and set captives free. I've called my people to do it.
Right.
And that's when that 8 years is when that vision was birthed in me to do something different. And that's where Mercy came from. And I started in January of 1983. So when we turned the calendar this year, it'll be our 40-year anniversary.
You just told me I've been out of high school for 40 years.
I'm sorry. I just told some people I'm pretty old too. But no, I can, you ask some of my staff, they'll tell you that I can run circles around some of my staff that are in their 20s and 30s. I have enough energy to go around. So I'm not retiring, I'm refiring.
Oh, I love that. I completely believe that you can run circles around a lot of people, including me.
I don't know about that.
So when you started in 83 in Monroe, how did you do that? What was the first step in starting an outreach?
Well, the first step was, first of all, I had never been to Louisiana before. And some friends of mine, husband and wife, became youth pastors at a church in Louisiana, in Monroe, Louisiana. So they invited me. While I was working for the government still in the fall of 1982, I think it was October, they invited me to come and spend a week with them. So while I was there that week, I drove there and they were doing their thing. And I was at their house by myself one afternoon and I heard the Holy Spirit say, go get in your car and drive around the city because I want to speak to you. So I drove through Monroe, West Monroe, you know, the area. And the Lord started saying, I want you to get a good look at everything, because in a short period of time, I'm going to bring you to this city and you are going to start the ministry that I put in your heart to start. So that was October. It was the following January. I came back home, was fasting and praying, seeking the Lord. And Sherry, he gave me three things. He said, I want you to start a place where girls, they have to want to come, and I want you to take them free of charge. Because if they don't want help, you can't help them.
Right.
They have to want to come. They have to want help and they come free of charge. Secondly, he said, your needs will be met through your giving. Give 10% of everything that comes in once you get the nonprofit set up and tied to other ministries helping hurting people, and your needs will be met through your giving. I'll put you on the hearts of people to give, and you will never lack if you will do those two things. And the third thing is, don't ever take any government money or money that will restrict the freedom to share the full gospel of Jesus Christ, because without that freedom, the lives won't change. So those are our three founding principles. And I wrote them all down after it was still 82, right after I got back from that Monroe trip. And so I started praying. I said, okay, well, Lord, you've showed me I'm going to Louisiana. Give me what I need to go, and then I'll go. And he goes, oh, no, that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he said, in order, faith is go to the place that I've showed you to go to, and the provision will be on that path. But you have to get on that path and start walking it before the provision is going to come in. And he showed me the first thing you've got to do is go there, set up your nonprofit, go see an attorney, get it set up properly. And so as I took these steps, the newspaper there did like a 3-page spread on why I had come to town, about my government work, how I wanted to do it different. I just talked to them like I'm talking to you. And right. I thought it'd be like a 2-paragraph. It was a 3-page article. And there was, before cell phones back then, they just give you a landline. So they put a landline if you want Nancy to come speak. And I started getting all these invitations to come speak at civic groups, churches, Sunday school classes, and the word just started getting out that way, and it just took off from there.
Wow. So did you just find a building and start from there, or did you,
you know,
was
what
part
happened?
Of the church?
What, no, it wasn't part of the church. God was very clear with me. Don't connect this to any one particular church, but when it's all said and done, you're going to be bringing in young women from all 50 states in this country. That was before I knew there would be other nations too, but I didn't know that then. But
right.
He let me know what I needed to know, so I wouldn't freak out probably. But anyway, you know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
but so he said, don't be an organization that is separated from any one particular denomination so that all would feel free to come, whether they have a church background or no church background. And a lot of times those kids are easier to get rooted and grounded in the Word of God, because you don't have to kick out the religiosity, you know, the religious spirits out of them.
That's true.
Wrong training. So anyhow, that's what the Lord showed me to do. And so there was a guy in the church that I was going to that was had a real estate company, and he had an empty office building. And he said, you need an office to office out of while you're raising the funds to get the first home. And he offered, it was a large building. And so we had volunteers come in there, work with, you know, we'd send out fundraising letters. I'd go speak. We'd started collecting a mailing list of people. That was before computers. So I'm telling you, you know, aging myself yet again, but that's okay. It was just a big faith step. And God just started exponentially bringing us to people's attention. And it was sort of like, you know, we were more well known in that region of the of Ouachita Parish, and then I travel all over the state of Louisiana, learn how to eat that Cajun food, and I love it to this day. I swore I'd never eat crawfish, and now I love them. Crawfish etouffee, all the stuff.
Absolutely.
But I love that Cajun food, and I travel all over the state and spoke, and you know, then God opened up then the Southeast region, and then I started speaking all across America, and eventually I was speaking in other countries, and as I continued in that vein, God had me write books. He opened doors for me to go on television. When I came back to Nashville in 1990 to establish the Nashville home, which we built debt-free, so many people in the country music and Christian music community came on board to help us. And when we cut the ribbon on that home at the Nashville 40-bed facility in 1995, we cut the ribbon with Naomi Judd and our governor's wife and a couple of other people, and we did it debt-free. We cut that ribbon and
That's
told everybody
incredible.
The building was debt-free and just wonderful. And all of our buildings are debt-free to this day, because God said, if you'll do these three things, I'll see to it that all your needs are met. And it's gone like that all this almost 40 years.
Wow. Not just spiritual obedience, but mental discipline, because I see it. You're a little firecracker. I mean, I can feel it from here. Just looking at you, I know that you knock down walls and you just, you know, you run through them, take names later, the whole, like, I get it. And that's how you get stuff done. Right. I mean,
right.
I think God uses people with certain personalities to do certain things. And, you know, I was telling you, when they asked me to speak after my book was launched, and I had one of the newspapers, it was actually the Baton Rouge Advocate, said, oh, we're going to come and take a picture of you. And I was like, what? I had a house full of people. My daughter was getting married, And they came and I held up a picture of Bryant and they snapped a photo right in front of my house on my porch. And then I started getting people sending me Facebook messages. I was like, maybe I need another Facebook. Like they're sending me messages. Will you come speak to, you know, Compassionate Friends and some of these groups and women's lunches? Because one thing that I learned was I can speak from experience, but even though I have a medical background, I am a registered nurse, although I haven't been at bedside for many years. I'm in medical business, but I needed to speak from education because I'm kind of a nerd like that. Like I'm constantly filling myself up and educating myself. So I decided to go back online and I got my certification in grief just because I wanted to speak from a point of education and not just experience. And what I learned from that, and I know that you know this, grief is not just the loss of a loved one by death. It can be a divorce. It can be a loss. A girl could have her mom that rejects her. That's
right.
Grief.
That's absolutely right.
There's so much grief. And people think because you say this person's grieving that they've lost someone by death. And that is absolutely not true. Grief is a universal emotion that comes in so many ways. You can lose your business. You can, you know, lose a family member that, you know, cuts you off, not necessarily by death or divorce. There's so many things that you grieve over. And I know you see that in these young girls. How do you handle that? So a girl comes in and then we'll talk about where you find these girls or they find you, but they come in with so much weight.
Right.
You know, not just, yes, they have all this abuse, which is horrific. But on top of that, they have all of these labels that people have called them. Like you said, I was listening to Joel Osteen this morning on his podcast, and it was all about the I ams and what you say about yourself.
Right.
And he told a story about how this young high school boy told Joel that, you know, Joel asked him, how are you doing in school? He says, oh, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm just an average C student. And the reason why he said that is because a teacher back in elementary school had labeled him an average C student. He wasn't. Come to find out, he was actually much smarter than that, but he only applied himself to the label that this teacher had given him back in elementary school. And, you know, that breaks your heart. And then I think about these girls that come into these buildings and so much baggage. How do you handle all that pain and depression and grief and everything that comes with them?
Well, you know, the cool thing about having the freedom to share Christ is that when they walk through the doors, I mean, I think you know this, we take girls who have been sex trafficked, girls with sexual abuse,
right,
eating disorders, cutters, suicidal, they've been in mental hospitals, they've been locked up for depression, serious suicide attempts. And since 1980, in the mid-1980s, we started taking in young women facing unplanned pregnancy. So basically, we believe whatever the problem is, Jesus is the answer. And there's nothing too hard for God. So, for example, right, if a young woman walks through the door and she's pregnant, what we would say, the first thing we would say to her is, listen, you need to know that God is so proud of you. We're so proud of you because our government and even a lot of churches in America say you should go to the abortion clinic and get rid of this child, get rid of this quote problem. But you have chosen life and God is so proud of you. We're so proud of you. So any shame or guilt or condemnation you're feeling, we lift that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Mm. You are loved. You are valued. Your child is loved and valued. And this is going to be the greatest experience. And we, by the way, start teaching them about who they are in Christ, the power of words, like you said about,
right,
you know, Joel Osteen, what he was saying. He's by the way, Joel is one of our biggest Mercy supporters. He's wonderful. I've known Joel since he was 19. Behind the TV camera filming his dad when he dropped out of ORU.
Oh, wow. He doesn't know me, but I'll tell you what, one day I'm going to meet Joel Osteen, because I'll tell you, Nancy, you know, some people like Joel, don't like Joel for whatever reason. I think there's haters all over the world. Joel has no idea. Listening to his messages when my son died, it was the only person, and I told you I'm going to get through this without crying. He is the only person that could penetrate a part that I had an absolute brick wall to. I don't know why. I have no idea. I never met the man. I do not know. But
well,
I felt
you won't be you won't be disappointed when you meet him, when you meet him.
Oh, I'm going to meet him. I don't know how. That's, you know, God will fix that.
Well, me and you might just have to go to church there one Sunday.
We will have to go to church there. Look, he's on my vision board.
Okay, good. That's good. It's going to happen.
He's on my vision board. That's how bad I want to meet him.
I'm close with the whole family. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Joel's sister, he tells his story publicly, but Joel's sister, the whole family was believing for Joel, and his whole family were believing for his sister, Lisa, who were told they couldn't have children, be able to have children.
Right.
And so Kevin is the CEO of Lakewood Church and Lisa's husband. And Lisa, of course, is pastor on staff there and teaches a lot. And so Lisa and Kevin, almost 25 years ago, adopted a set of twin girls from our adoption agency. We have a licensed adoption agency.
I know. And I didn't know that. They adopted girls. I did not know that.
And then about 3 years later, a birth mother chose them again, because the birth mothers get to choose. It's not political. I'm not involved at all. People go, oh, well, Nancy did that. No, Nancy didn't do that. The Holy Spirit did that. And because the birth mothers choose what they want in a couple, and they get to choose who adopts, if that's the choice they make, or if they want a parent, then we'll help prepare them for that. So anyhow, about 3 years later, a girl gave birth to a son, Christopher, and I think Christopher's 19 or 20, maybe 21 now. And I'm very close with them. And
that's amazing.
Probably maybe 9 years ago, maybe 10, I forget. Cindy Ratliff, you know, the worship leader at Lakewood, she and her husband adopted, their son was probably only 6 or 7 years old. And he came to his mom and said, Jesus told me that I'm going to have a baby brother and a baby sister. And she had just been told by the doctor she couldn't have any more children. And so I was there at Lakewood, and they asked me to go to lunch with them. So it was Marcus and Cindy and their son, Merrick. And so Cindy said, Merrick, tell Miss Nancy what you told me that Jesus said. And he looked straight at me. He goes, she just came in my room and said, I'm going to have a baby brother and baby sister. And I'm telling you, before God, I just sat there and and I looked at Cindy and I could see her going like this. What I immediately made eye contact with Merrick and I said, let me tell you something. If Jesus came into your room and told you you're going to have a baby brother and a baby sister, you're going to have a baby brother and a baby sister. And that was November. And in January, lo and behold, a beautiful blonde-headed girl, looks like she could be Cindy or Marcus's sister, walks through the doors. And she was thinking she was probably going to place for adoption. But then she went to the doctor and found out she had twins. And she said, now I know I need to place these babies for adoption because I'm not ready to handle this. Guess who she ends up picking?
Oh, yes.
And guess what? It was a twin boy, twin girl.
Wow.
You can't make this stuff up. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. We do not. I mean, you know, a lot of people think, well, I just pick the people I like the most. No, I don't. I do not get involved with it. I don't touch it.
Right.
Who am I to decide who somebody's mom and dad is going to be? That's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. So the women that come in, some are pregnant, but not necessarily all of them. So
no, not all.
How do they find you? Where do these girls come from?
Some may find out about me from your podcast. And I do other podcasts. I do television shows. Joel's had me speak at the church, and he talks about me a lot on what we do. And just referrals from churches all across America, from crisis pregnancy centers. And back in May, when it seemed very obvious that in June, Roe v. Wade was going to be returned back to the States, we started ramping up our efforts to really let young women know that they can come to Mercy free of charge for the duration of their pregnancy. And we stepped it up a notch. Not only is it free of charge, they get great organic food, they get great health care, but they get, more importantly, you know, we focus on not the baby, but changing and transforming the heart of that mother carrying the baby. And then the baby is taken care of as an automatic byproduct of what happens in the heart of that girl. And now we are offering, whether they live in Washington State or Massachusetts or wherever they may live, we offer free airline transportation for them to come and get to us if they want to come.
It's incredible. It's absolutely so incredible what you have done. And I know that there are women right now listening going, I want to help. I want to help. I want to do something. I want to do something. So tell everyone wants to sow a seed into your ministry, which it was called Mercy Ministries, right? Now it's Mercy Multiplied.
Yes. I think it's been about seven, almost 8 years ago, our magazine that we sent out was called Multiply, and it was always full of testimonies of, you know, babies being saved from abortion, girls coming out of trafficking, like all the stuff. Like a young girl that had an eating disorder, we did a feature on in 2003, the experts of the world after they take hundreds of thousands of dollars from her parents.
Right.
Wealthy family in Texas. They said she's probably going to die from this eating disorder. If she doesn't die, she has totally destroyed her body. She'll never be able to have children. She'll never have a normal life. You know, never, never, never. So anyway, we got all those nevers off of her and put, you know, with God, all things are possible. And we, in 6 months' time, she graduated from the program, totally healed from her eating disorder, went home, got plugged into a local church, met a guy, and they got married. She married this guy named Ryan. They got married, and as of today, they have given birth to 9 individual children, and then they decided they wanted to adopt, so they adopted number 10 from China, so their family is complete now.
Well, she just told those doctors, didn't she?
Didn't she? And that's what God does. He absolutely, there's a verse in one of the translations in Corinthians that says, God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent, will frustrate.
I hope she sends a family Christmas card to every one of them.
I'm sure she does, because this girl's feisty. And during COVID, they decided, you know, her family, they have quite a bit of money, and so her family decided we're going to buy an RV and just tour America during COVID. So, and she homeschools them all, so they just. They came through Nashville. We got a picture of all of us together. I mean, it was just so fun. And they're like the stair steps, and they're so well behaved. And I just marvel, and I just think it's so funny. I'm just like, take that, devil. Look at this family.
Exactly.
You lied. You said she wouldn't be able to have kids. She had 9. I guess she showed you. And we tell her story to the girls that have been given that same diagnosis and break that off of them. And, you know, we pray over the girls. We break the curses. We tell them through the power of their choice that they can break that generational curse and start a generation of blessing. And that's what Kristen did when she was told that. She goes, no, I choose Jesus. I choose to believe what God says about me.
Right.
And she did. And now she got all those kids and she loves it.
You know, I had somebody ask me, it wasn't long ago, I said something about generational curses, and they looked at me and I said, well, what is a generational curse? Is that some kind of hocus pocus thing that you're talking about? I said, well, first of all, I don't talk about hocus pocus. Generational curses is real. And you have to break that off of you and share that, Nancy. Share generational curses, because I know that you see that a lot walking through your doors.
First of all, the Bible says that the curse is broken in Jesus Christ. So when we're born again, we enter in the bloodline of Christ. We become a part of his bloodline, and that supersedes the bloodline we were born in. So we actually have a legal right to say, no, there will be no more premature deaths in my family. That's what I had to pray and break off of our family, because we had a lot of that in our bloodline all the way back to my great grandparents. For people that's, when I'm out speaking places where I know they're going to stumble over that, the word that you said, people go, what is that hocus pocus? I'll call it generational patterns. People can swallow that better. So if you're out there and you're thinking this is crazy, generational patterns can be broken because we enter into the bloodline of Christ, and those patterns, we have a right to break those old patterns off. And now I'm a daughter of the King. I do not, in Jesus' name, you know, I am protected from the enemy and his plots, plans, schemes, and assignments to take me out. In John 10:10, Sherry says, it says the thief, the devil, comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. I call this a dividing scripture. So if it's on the side of kill, steal, and destroy, it's from the enemy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, you had a son that was killed in a tragedy. I had a little sister that was killed in a tragedy, and they're both in heaven today, and we will be reunited with them. But I didn't know back then how to pray the way I know how to pray now. And so I went before the Lord, and I have 13 nieces and nephews that have given me 27 great nieces and nephews in Steele County. Wow. So I pray over every one of them. There will be no more premature deaths. I've been praying that since I learned in the early days of Mercy, so decades ago, since before a lot of them were even born. Right. And there has been nothing like that happening in our family, because we have Oh, right. God says, put me in remembrance of my word. Mm-hmm. And Joel teaches us to do that too.
He does. He does. Because it's just, you have to remind him what it says. And look, I'll do it in my car. I did it this morning. I'll walk around my house and I was like, God, you said.
Yeah. You know? He likes it when we do that. By
I know. But you know, when I first started doing that, Nancy, I felt like I was being a little disrespectful. And so, you know, but I realized that the more that I started learning the word, actually learning, you know, there's so many people that don't read the Bible. It's not that they don't believe in God. You know, they know and they've, you know, been born again, but they don't take the time to study the word. And so to me, you're not getting the full benefit right. of being in this family, you know? Yes. And so I learned that. And so the more I started studying, the more I started reading and paying attention to really what it says, because you'll hear people talk about, and it was me too, you know, I would sit in a Baptist church when I was 13 and open up the hymn book and sing Just As I Am Without One Plea and wait for Piccadilly at 12 o'clock, you know, because that's exactly where Daddy said we were going. And so we don't really get the full picture or the full experience or the blessing that is already there for us. We don't dive into it because we don't know what he even says. We don't know what he says in the Bible. And so now that I have learned that, I have to tone it down a little bit, because I was in the nail place the other day and this lady was incredible. She's 54, about to graduate from nursing school. And I don't even know her, but I just was praying over her and telling her how proud I was of her. And I said, you know, God says, and I would, God said, but she was so cute. She turned around and she goes, you are so full of joy. I could sit here and listen to you all day. And it just filled my heart up. I go, okay, well, maybe I'm not overdoing it then.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, what you're saying is so true, because there is a scripture in the New Testament that says all of the promises of God are yes and amen. Mm-hmm. Amen means so be it. So all the promises of God are yes and so be it. So we better find out what those promises are so that we can get in agreement with them for our lives. And that's why it's so important for us to be in the word and renew our mind to it. And Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. And boy, is this world getting crazier by the minute. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can, you know, walk in that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
You know, I just literally had this word that just fell on me when you were talking, and just comparing it to Christmas. It's like having a huge Christmas tree surrounded with presents, and all of the presents have your name on it, but you never open them. So you have no idea what's in them.
That is a great analogy.
Well, it literally just came to me, and I was like, well, that's what it is. We have all of these blessings and it's right there if we just know what God says, but we never go and read it and we never understand it.
And you know what came to me when you were talking is this. A lot of people out there, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, what it means to take God's name in vain, you know, and it's not just saying GD, some people think that's taking God's name in vain. I don't say that. I don't condone that at all. But to me, taking God's name in vain is not partaking of all that that the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ, died to give us. Mm. He bore our grief. He carried our sorrows. Isaiah 53, you can read all the things. His heart was broken so that ours could be healed. He took stripes on his back so that our physical bodies could be healed. I mean, there's so much. And it's like you said, we got to dig in and receive. We're slapping God in the face. We're taking his name in vain, I think, if we don't partake of all that Christ died to give us.
Nancy, I could talk to you all day.
So I can talk to you all day.
You just let me know when we're flying to Houston to go to church, because...
Okay, well, you know what? Offline, we'll make a connection to do that next year, because... I'm very close with them, and all I have to do is call, and we sit with Dodie on the front. And for the people that want to dog out Joel Osteen to me, I'm going to tell you, you got to be way too late to do it, because I've been that young man since he was 19 years old, and he's the same today as he was when he was 19, helping his dad edit his television programs.
Yeah, my husband was watching a comedian the other day on Netflix. He was funny until he started making fun of Christians. And so I said, you know, that's not funny. You know, I told him, I said, that's not funny. He goes, yeah, he's not being funny anymore. And right when we said that, he said something about Joel, and I'm sure Joel's heard it, but he was making fun of Joel, of the way Joel preaches, you know, motivationally, the way he preaches. And I looked at my husband, he goes, I'm turning it off.
You know what, Sherry, the reason that I want us to go there together, I know I'm not trying to convince you of anything, but the reason I would like to take you there is because the people that really criticize him, the first thing I ask them is, have you ever been to a Sunday morning service? Because they do it all. They say, well, he doesn't ever give altar calls. He gives one every Sunday morning. They have amazing praise and worship. They pray for the sick every Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. I watch them live, which, you know, I go to Healing Place. And then just last week, I told you, you know, we bought a house in Denham. So we went to Healing Place in Denham, which is much smaller. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to go check it out because my husband and I like to do that. And if we are not at church, I'm watching live through YouTube, because for those that want to know what Lakewood is really like, you can listen to his podcast. You know, some of that's kind of edited because they have to for the 27 minutes on his podcast. But if you want to join on Sunday mornings, you can join through YouTube on your television live. And it's like sitting in the audience. I'm sure it's even incredible in person, but the music is beautiful. And then you get to see exactly what they do, the full service and experience. So,
well, we're going to go. And you know what? I have never been there a single time where I could not feel a heavy, heavy presence of God.
Oh, I can only imagine. I you don't have to talk me into it. You just got to let me know when.
Okay, we'll work it out. I'll get a hold of Lisa and make sure she's in town, and we'll work.
That's right. We will work it out. Nancy, I love you so much. Can I say that?
Yeah, I love you too.
I love you so much, and I can't wait to connect with you in person. And I want you to tell everybody, where can we sow a seed into Mercy Multiplied?
Okay, just as a reminder, the girls come free of charge. We don't take any government funding or any money that restricts the freedom to share Christ. And so we need people to help us do what we do. And we're blessed because we are tithers, and God promises to bless tithers and rebuke the devourer for our sake. So we're blessed, but we're growing and expanding. We want to reach more people. We have this new program where we're paying for airline tickets for girls that are desperate to get here. So if people want to sow a seed, they can. If you want to write a check, you can go on our website and find our address, but you can also give online. It's mercymultiplied.com, mercymultiplied.com. And there's testimonies on there, video testimonies. There's a history video. There's samplings of me teaching, information about our pregnancy services for girls that need that. There's all kinds of information, but there's also how to give, how I can help. And you click onto that, and you can give online, or you can get the address and mail in a check, however you want to do it.
Where can we get your books, Nancy?
Well, right, some of my books are on Amazon, but it's better to get them through our website because we give a better price. So that also is mercymultiplied.com, and you can hit the whatever button. I think it probably says resources, books and resources, something like that. It's obvious. And click onto that, and so that's I've written quite a few books over the years. So.
And we can find Mercy Multiplied on social media?
Yes, we are on Instagram, mercymultiplied.com. I am on Instagram, nancyalcorn.com. It's not .com, is it? It's just Nancy Alcorn.
Yeah.
It's at Mercy Multiplied, at Nancy Alcorn on Instagram and on Twitter. And then Mercy Multiplied, you can find on Facebook.
I appreciate you. And ladies, make sure that if you are looking for an organization to invest in, just go on the website, look around. You know, maybe it's not something that you can do financially. Maybe there's something that you can donate. Look and see what they need. See what they take. You just never know how you can help. And I know Nancy and the organization and all of her team would be so appreciative. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. And it's such an honor and a blessing to be with you. And we're going to hang out next year. Go to church.
I'm fired up.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in all the way through Real Girl Talk Show. Make sure you subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you happen to have iTunes, would you do me a favor and leave me a review on the show? I know you're going to leave me a 5-star, right? That's the way that I can reach more and more people around the world. Remember, whatever you wish to receive, you have to first give. And I know that you're the kind of person that wants to reach people all over the world and inspire them. You can copy this link and share it with your family and friends. Share it on social media. Remember, people need to be uplifted and inspired more than ever today. Thank you so much for being a part of Real Girl Talk community. And until next time, go after your dreams, create your vision, and truly be the person God intended you to be. Healthy, happy, whole, and full of life. Love you.